They'd been rehearsing in secret for weeks. Now they were ready for their first cues. Frieda looked around and shivered as she waited to take the blankets that covered the actors' filmy costumes. Like most people in the theatre that night, Frieda was a victim of the depression. But the despair of doll queues and empty bellies, of strangers sharing rooms because they had nowhere else to go, had suddenly lifted when she'd sat on the other side of the footlights a few months before. Drawn to the purposeful events that continually swept through these rooms, ideas and action swirled, making cold places warm. This performance as a new theatre was critical if it was to succeed in becoming a critic of its times. They all knew that Clifford Odette's new play vividly explained that although half a world away, the terrifying events in Europe needed to be understood here in Sydney, that it affected all of them. As she waited for the curtains to open, Frieda thought that because they had so much time to devote to their art, because they believed so strongly in the wisdom of their ideas in these politically charged times, the new theatre family got a lot done on the cheap. The freezing July nights were hard to take, though, but they would have been harder still out on the street. As soon as they could raise money to pay for heating in the rooms, everything would be better. She studied the audience from behind the second-hand curtain. The auditorium was full, with extra chairs brought from somewhere else in the building. Frieda and Vic had walked for days of leafleting in the inner city streets and on the dole lines. But what did these people think of what the theatre presented? Did they share that sense? Finally, the first play began. Jock, Eddie, Vic, Jean and the others handed Frieda the blankets and became their characters. Frieda was glad that she'd refused to take on the role of Tilly. She was still new to the game and found that behind-the-scenes jobs suited her much better. At 18, she was still fighting to suppress her nervousness, but her organising skills were put to good use here with so much to do. And anyway, Jean, 3 months pregnant, was a fabulous Tilly, who reveals in the play, both to the father and to the audience, that she is expecting. So it was a perfect fit for her. Frieda had thrown herself into organising the rehearsals and performances. She was pleased with her program notes she wrote for the season. She was proud to see the Roneo'd program stating that the plays were anti-fascist works containing a spirit of beauty that worked to fight oppression and poverty. When she stayed behind after that first performance, Vic had talked about theatre work behind the scenes. He explained the ideas behind the new theatre, the job they'd taken to show how the world was to ordinary people here in Sydney and to try and combat fascism with social justice. Within a month, Vic had persuaded her to volunteer as secretary. Soon it was another home for her. Making friends down here at Pitt Street was just as important as putting on plays. There were meetings, rehearsals, different events every night. She was even writing her own dramas and rehearsing others as Vic's director in training. Her mother had first asked her if it was the boys she kept going back for. The audience seemed to be enjoying the first play's conclusion and the atmosphere was electric. Everyone was aware that the performance was going on to the second very controversial play, despite the censorship minister banning its performance. Frieda took a deep breath as the audience began to die away and she stepped onto the stage. Friends, I'm one of the volunteers for New Theatre. It seems like you enjoyed our first presentation tonight. She paused, her arms folded tightly before her. Its message is important and we need to fight against this horror of fascism. And we think this theatre's work is important in presenting these plays, and anyone can join our group. I hope you might want to help in our fight for social justice. She realised as she scanned the faces that her talk had found resonance she had connected. Her fists unclenched, her voice grew a little louder. Our work to make the theatre a critic of our times goes on, but we need your help. As long as you support our theatre, we'll use it to examine and criticise our society. She looked over to Vic, who passed the hat around the audience. He recognised some faces in the back row, but he was an old hand at dealing with threats from the law. He put his deep theatre voice on, hearty and reassuring, his thumbs tucked into his tight braces, and strode back up onto the stage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been prohibited from presenting our second play tonight. I cannot think how this play can offend against good manners and decorum. You might be able to follow the devious ways of the ministerial mind, but we think that that's an intrusion on democratic principles. Vic continued, throwing his remarks to the back of the hall. In order to comply with this ridiculous ban, another player will be substituted, one that I'm sure will be in accordance with the law. Frieda stared at him, searching his face. They hadn't prepared another play. Jock and Jean beckoned her back into the wings. After a few meaningful looks between Vic and Jock, a play began. It was the play they'd planned. Vic was simply putting off the plainclothes detectives he'd spotted. But the officers soon realised they'd been had, and there was a change in the atmosphere in the hall, voices from the back rising. Frieda pulled at the unravelling hem of her cardigan, stepped further back into the wings, tripped over the pile of blankets. Most people ran out as soon as the police stood up, but a few moved towards the stage to try and support the actors. Frieda picked herself off the floor, and as soon as the officers blustered up onto the stage, she ran onto the stage as well to protect Jean from the oversized sergeant who'd launched himself on her. Quite a few people were hurt in the confusion. Vic tried to stop things early on, but the police didn't listen, just rushing to restrain everyone. Police arrested the actors along with the crew. The detectives moved to the back rooms, smashing the flimsy stage props on the way. Held back by two coppers, accusing them of violence and twisting to find escape, Frieda watched her office destroyed. Scripts, books, paper all over the floor. The detectives soon found what they were looking for. As she was taken through the open curtains and outside to the watch house with the others, Frieda was already planning her protests, her letters to the government, her work against this injustice. She had a cause, a burning hot reason for fighting, and she didn't notice how cold the outdoors had become.